Amen. We do love great teachers. We love them because we remember them. Each of us probably can remember very clearly at least one teacher within our career, within our lives, that really made a difference. We love the teacher. We also love the risk taker. This country loves to take the risk taker and go, woo-wee, look at that one. But only one kind of risk taker. Because there are two kinds of risk takers. The risk taker we like is the risk taker who succeeds. And so we take stories like the story of Andrew Carnegie, the story of John Rockefeller and other people, and we take them and we hold them high. It's the American dream. It is those people who came from nothing, who created these vast empires. We don't remember the risk takers who failed, do we? Unless it happens to be ourselves. And then we say, I'm not going to do that again. But there is something admirable about the risk taker, because life is of such that we can just kind of roll through it and kind of stay in the middle and get the things done that we need to get done, but never really do anything that places ourselves at risk, that exposes ourselves to failure. Because that's the thing about taking a risk. That's why we call it a risk. Because if you don't, if you take it, then you're exposed to failure. You run that chance that, hey, this might not work so well. And so many of us tend to stay in that middle crowd. But a classmate of mine, Tim Stewart, he was in the Navy, and he talked about basic training. And the one thing he learned in basic training was stay in the middle. He says, you don't want to be first, and you don't want to be last. Because if you're first, they're going to try to beat you down. If you're last, they're going to try to beat you up. You stay in the middle. But there is something about risk-taking that we like, something that we admire. Even if we're not risk-takers, we look at it and say, oh, wouldn't it be great to be able to do something like that? The Bible's filled with risk takers. If you think about it, the entire biblical story is just chock full of these people who have taken all kinds of different risks on behalf of God. Think about Noah. For goodness sakes, here's this guy living in the middle of this arid climate. God tells him to build a boat, and he builds a boat. Imagine the guy next door was pretty thrilled with this idea. And I bet they didn't call Noah a risk taker. I bet they had other words. Moron. Idiot. Hearing voices, stay away from him. But then you have the story of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham risks that belief in God to the point that he's willing to sacrifice his son. The story of Moses. Moses escapes a death sentence for murdering somebody, runs off, finds a nice life for himself out there somewhere far away from Egypt, and God says, well, you got to go back and get those rest of the people. And he does it. Goliath, the Philistine, is taunting the Israelites. And David, probably I would imagine somebody about Hunter's size and age, says, I'll take care of it. And today we have John the Baptist. You know, a lot of times we look at John the Baptist and we read those descriptions and we think, lunatic. risk taker. Not because of what he ate, not because necessarily of how he dressed, but what he said. He was a pretty popular guy, apparently. They were coming in droves from the city and from the surrounding countryside so they could be baptized by him. Now, it's important to understand, I think, in a historical context, that baptism was part of an annual Jewish rite of repentance. So you went to get baptized as a symbol of your washing away of your sins. You did that on an annual basis. And because of who John was, I guess he became the guy to do the washing. And so they'd come to the River Jordan to get baptized by John, to have their sins forgiven, to have themselves cleansed. So popular was it, the Pharisees and the Sadducees come out. Now these are the big boys. You know, this would be like, I guess, the equivalent of a Catholic prophet having the Vatican show up. Having the Pope and the Cardinals all show up, say, hey, we're ready. And what's he say? How's he right? Oh, this is great. Look at all these great famous people. All these stalwarts of the faith. They're all here to be baptized. I must be doing something really good. Instead, he climbs out on a limb. He starts poking at them. You brood of vipers. We're off to a good start here. You brood of vipers. You pieces of garbage. You self-indulgent pieces of trash who go out and destroy humanity by telling them things they don't need to hear, by taking the faith and twisting it around, by doing what you need to do to get yourself on top at the expense of other spirituality. You brood of vipers, what are you doing here? That's chapter 7 of How to Make Friends and Influence People. And so here we have John the Baptist, the one paving the way of God, making the path straight, getting ready to introduce his cousin, Jesus. A true risk taker. And I guess we could say that maybe he was one of those risk takers who failed. Or succeeded. It depends on how you look at these things. His final glory was getting his head lopped off. I don't know how successful we find that experience to be. But he did the work he was called to do. He took the risk that God had placed before him, that challenge of going out and proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. Not the Messiah they were looking for, but the Messiah that God gave them. Because God loves giving us the things that we need, not the things that we want. When the people of Israel, thousands of years before that, were complaining about the fact that they wanted to have a king like everybody else, God said, okay, I'll give you a king. And he went and he picked the weakest male from the weakest family of the weakest tribe of Israel. And here's your king. Enjoy. And he sends forth a Messiah not to destroy Rome, but a Messiah to inspire and to teach love and peace. A risk taker. And it cost him his life, too. We're not risk takers when it comes to our faith. Look at this place. How risky is this? We have comfortable chairs. We have climate control, which somebody's always complaining about. We have a time limit. that when it's exceeded, people complain about. But we have all of this, and we have the challenges that God lays before us, but it comes without risk. And yet I really believe that when we think about what God calls us to do, God challenges us to be the risk takers of the faith. I believe that God challenges each of us individually, almost every day of our lives, to risk doing something a little bit different, doing something a little bit more, doing something a little bit grander, doing something that might be outside that box of comfort, away from the cushy seats, out there in that nitty-gritty, dirty world where we're all called to do something for someone at some different point in time, to take a risk, to reach out, to have a conversation with somebody that we might not want to converse with, to reach out and have a conversation with somebody we like to talk about, but to converse about something that we might not want to converse with them about, like our faith. To take a risk to be able to go out and dig a little bit deeper in our pockets to be able to support some group or some institution that helps the poor and the needy. To decide that I'm going to spend my money on somebody else instead of myself. And I'm not saying that you're not generous, but there's always more to do. You see, God calls us to be risk takers. God calls us to analyze our lives and to look at what we're doing from an internal spiritual standpoint and from an external standpoint of our time, our wealth, and our resources to see what it is that we might do a little bit more of. Christianity isn't a built-in retirement plan. It is a challenge of faith each and every day that calls us to reach out of our world, to challenge us to be those risk takers that God calls us to be. If God didn't want risk takers within the faith, God wouldn't have been calling people like Noah and Moses and Abraham and John and Jesus. We would just have nice little sweet stories of how we all gathered together around a fire and would hold hands and sing Kumbaya. And God would smile. It is a challenge that God places before us, a challenge where God calls us to be risk takers of the faith. To be able to look beyond the realm of what we know and understand, to see what it is that we might take on, the things that might challenge us in all kinds of different ways, to be people who faithfully serve, not within the boundaries, but out on the limb, out on that limb that causes us to do things in a precarious fashion. Out on the limb that causes us to be able to serve God, wondering, how on earth did I ever get out here in the first place? Doing that what in which God has called us to do. You see, because if we hear that voice and take it seriously, we place ourselves at risk. We place ourselves at risk because we move with God outside of our comfort zone, taking on whatever it is that God might set before us. Like John the Baptist, pointing at those Pharisees and those Sadducees. God really doesn't want us to be comfortable, resting on our laurels. Talking about the good old days. God wants us focused on the risk, looking for the challenge, figuring out what it is that I need to do next. Then we become the one of the voice crying out in the wilderness. Then we are working at making that path straight. As we together prepare the way of the Lord. Amen.